Good morning, everyone. Today, I like to read James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10 in Persian. علت جنگ و دعوای شما چیست؟ آیا علت آنها آرزوهای ناپاکی نیست که در وجودتان منزل دارند؟ شما در حسرت چیزی به سر میبرید که آن را ندارید. پس دستتان را به خون آلوده میکنید تا آن را به چنگ آورید. در آرزوی چیزهایی هستید که متعلق به دیگران است و شما نمیتوانید آنها را داشته باشید. پس به جنگ و دعوا می‌پردازید تا آنها را تصاحب نمایید. علت آنکه آنچه را می‌خواهید ندارید این است که آن چیز را که می‌خواهید از خداوند درخواست نمی‌کنید. وقتی هم درخواست می‌کنید خداوند به دعایتان پاسخ نمی‌دهد، زیرا هدفتان نادرست است. شما فقط در پی کسب چیزهایی هستید که سبب خوشی و لذتتان می‌شود. شما همچون همسران بیوفایی هستید که به دشمنان شوهرانشان عشق می‌ورزند. آیا متوجه نیستید که اگر با دشمنان خدا یعنی لذت‌های ناپاک این دنیا دوستی نمایید، در واقع با خداوند دشمنی کرده اید؟ پس هر که می‌خواهد از خوشی‌های ناپاک این دنیا لذت برد، دیگر نمی‌تواند دوست خداوند باشد. آیا تصور می‌کنید که کتاب آسمانی بیهوده می‌گوید که روح خدا که خداوند آن را در وجود ما ساکن کرده است آنقدر به ما علاقه دارد که نمی‌تواند تحمل کند که دل ما جای دیگری باشد؟ اما نباید فراموش کرد که پروردگار قدرت لازم جهت ایستادگی در برابر این خواسته های گناه آلود را به ما عطا فرموده است. از این رو در کتاب آسمانی می‌فرماید: خداوند به شخص فروتن قوت می‌بخشد، اما با شخص متکبر و مغرور مخالفت می‌کند. پس خودتان را با فروتنی به خداوند بسپارید و در برابر شیطان ایستادگی کنید تا از شما دور شود. به خداوند نزدیک شوید تا او نیز به شما نزدیک شود. ای گناهکاران، دست‌های آلوده‌تان را بشویید و دل‌هایتان را فقط با عشق الهی لبریز سازید تا پاک گردند و نسبت به خداوند وفادار بمانید. برای اعمال اشتباه خود اشک بریزید و ماتم کنید و در عمق وجودتان غمگین و ناراحت باشید. به جای خنده گریه کنید و به جای شادی سوگواری کنید. زمانی که به ناچیزی و کوچکی خود در مقابل پروردگار پی بردید، آن زمان خداوند شما را سرفراز و سربلند خواهد ساخت. آمین.
Coping with this terrible hot weather we're having at the moment. It's a bit warm, isn't it? Let's just take a moment to pray and then we'll have a look at what God wants to say to us this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you that we have the wonderful privilege of coming to a place where we're free to do so. And we can come and read your word. We can listen to what you want to say to us. And so we just commit this morning to you and pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts as we listen to what you say. Amen. So we're going to look at James chapter 4 and verses 1 to 10 today. You know, this is a very confronting portion of Scripture, and you may remember if you were here for Mark's sermon 2 weeks ago, he pointed out just how direct James is. James doesn't hold back in what he has to say. And Cameron mentioned that again last week. Just how very direct James is. And I'm going to do the same today. James doesn't hold back at looking at our personal lives and challenging us to deal with the issues that God is not happy about. I will look at the first 10 verses of chapter 4. Please have a look at the rest of the chapter. There's a number of issues in the last 7 verses that we need to deal with these as well. But as we look at these first 10 verses, there are three very distinct sections this scripture can be divided into. The first one is problems. James gives us the problems of our spiritual lives, things we need to look out for, signs of why our spiritual life is drifting off track. God's provision. What does God do to solve our problems? Number three, prescription. What are the things we can do to get our spiritual lives back on track? So we're going to look at those three sections one at a time. Five signs of affecting our spiritual life. Problems. So sign number one, strife in relationships. When we are having strifes in our relationships, we need to hear what James has to say to us. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they come from your desires that battle within you? You know, this is a very good and valid question. Have I really thought about why this happens? Why do we fuss and get irritable with some people? What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Ding, ding, I think we're onto the right track. We need to take a serious look at what is going on inside of us. Your desires that battle within you. When we're having problems with someone, what's our first response? We look at the other person to find out, what are they doing that irritates us? But what does James say? What is going on in my life? Don't look at the other person. Have a good look at what's going inside of you. And you may very well find that's the real problem. It's in me and not in the other person. If we have a look at Matthew chapter 7, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is this plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This portion of scripture is a very good reminder to make sure our lives are in a good relationship with God before we counsel someone else. Now, I use the word counsel very deliberately. We don't have the right to judge. This is the responsibility of God. Does this mean that we just let wrong things continue on in our church family? No, of course it doesn't. If we have a look at Matthew 18, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So as you can see from this portion of scripture, there's a process for addressing sin. But take notice from this scripture, we don't have the right to judge. This is the responsibility of God. Verse 12 in James 4 makes this very clear. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one is who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbour? So, what's the source of these quarrels and fights? And why do we do this? James 4, 2. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Why? Why do we quarrel and fight? Quite often, it's because there are unfulfilled desires within us. There is something going on in our lives. Proverbs has this very short statement, which is really worth taking to heart. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. This can be the very reason we take our frustrations out on other people. Okay, sign number two. The second sign of a spiritually deficient life, do not have. You desire, but do not have. There are certain things we should have as Christians. The Bible says we are supposed to have life and have it more abundantly. It's supposed to be joy. We are supposed to have love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. If this is not happening in our lives, we need to take care that we are not drifting from God spiritually. Sign number three, the third sign of a spiritually deficient life, do not ask God. You do not have because you do not ask God. This is a reminder that our prayer lives may not be what they should be. Is our prayer life weak? Is it non-existent? Do we take time out to spend time in prayer with God? Let us be reminded of what Scripture says about a prayerless life. Not a prayerful life, a prayerless life. Okay, if we have a look at Samuel chapter 12, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Are our prayers just for ourselves, or do we pray for other people and so many other needs around the world? Think about the millions of people that are still in the world that have never ever heard the name of Jesus Christ. They've never had the opportunity to accept him as their saviour. Sign number four, you do not receive. James 4:3, When you ask, you do not receive. Why aren't our prayers being answered? Here are some possibilities as to why this may be so. Hindrances to prayer. The first one, sin. Is there sin in our lives? We need to get sorted out before God. Verse 18 of this portion of scripture says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Remember, that's a prayer of David. The second one, unforgiveness. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Number three, lack of faith. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Number four. Sometimes you might feel as if God is not answering your prayer. Luke tells us to continue with persistence. That's the secret. It's a really good time for us just to take a moment and think. Remember this. God's timing and our timing quite often don't match up together. So when we're praying, don't think that your prayer may be answered immediately. Think about, when is God going to answer that prayer? So just remember that God's timing and our timing doesn't always match. Trying to find out, here we are. Okay, the fifth one, wrong motives. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay? It is important that our prayers are not just for our own benefit. Think about the needs of others. We've seen that in previous parts of what we've already said. And then the sixth one is marital strife. Now, husbands, this is just for you. If we mistreat our wives, our prayers will be hindered. Now, husbands, when you go home, I want you to read 1 Peter 3:7. Now, you know what's going to happen? All the wives are going to read that, and about half the husbands will. So, husbands, go and read that. And the fifth and the final sign is worldliness. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, what does this mean? When we talk about worldliness, we're talking about everything from the way we dress, the language we use, the media we consume, the media we support, our beliefs. In other words, do we believe Christian things, or do we believe things that are just politically correct? Finally, our behaviours. Do we look more like the world in the way we live our lives, or can people see something very, very different in the way we conduct our lives as Christians? That should be so, so different and clear to people. Well, praise God. Even though we have all these problems, there is a provision that God has made for our problems. And this is found in James 4:6. God's provision. But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. So, we've looked at all these problems, but what does God promise us? He said, I will give you grace. He will give us grace. Now, it may be good to know that and accept that God, yes, he's going to give us grace, but what do we have to do to rectify these problems? Well, fortunately, James gives us five things we need to do in verses 7 to 10. So, the first prescription. Submit yourselves then to God. If there is anything in your life that you are allowing that is against God's plan for your life, and you're not dealing with that, you need to submit yourself to God. You need to deal with this and get back into a good relationship with God. Prescription number two. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you're going through a time when you're experiencing temptation and you want to have self-control in your life, think the way that God wants you to think. Ask God for the answers, and God will enable you to resist the devil. And what does James say? If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. So ask God. Prescription number three. Come near to God and he will come near to you. If you want your spiritual relationship with God to get back on track, if you are feeling spiritually dry, disconnected from God, God is saying, come near to me. Spend time with me in prayer, reading your Bible, fellowshipping with other Christian people, and I will come near to you. Prescription number four. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We're told to repent from our sins. James says, take your sins seriously. And still in prescription number four, grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your glory and your joy to gloom. Now, this doesn't mean that we've got to walk around all day feeling ashamed or guilty. We need to take sin seriously because God takes it seriously. Anything that breaks God's heart should break our heart. Anything that breaks God's heart should break our heart. And the final prescription, walk in humility. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. If you want God's grace, if we want God's grace in our lives, if we want to be in a good relationship with God and be in tune with his plans for our lives, walk in humility. Listen to what God is saying to us through the Holy Spirit every minute of the day. To deal with all the things that James has pointed out to us, that's the clue. We need to be moment by moment, minute by minute in relationship with God, listening to what his Spirit is saying to us and obeying what his Spirit says to us. It's no sense just listening if you don't take notice. So I hope this has been a challenge to you. It certainly was a challenge to me preparing it. And as I said, James doesn't hold any punches. He's very, very clear in what he says. So let's just take a moment to close in prayer. Lord, there are a lot of things that you've asked us to deal with in your word today. But Father, we thank you so much that even with all these problems, you do have answers. You are willing to guide us every day. Help each one of us to be humble in our walk with you, humble in our relationship with other people and with our church family, humble with our families and work friends. And oh Lord, just teach us to walk in your way every moment of the day. Amen. Thank you.